This is an I Am Listening podcast.
Since 2019, the Medway Council infrastructure funding statement says 52% of all the Section 106 money which has been spent has been for self-help health pods. Medway Council said it had no concerns over the way the ICB decided how the funds were spent and had never had to return any of the funds it had received due to the passing of the deadline.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's Kent Politics Podcast. I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and I'll be looking at some of the stories our reporters have been covering this week, including those from our local democracy reporters Simon Finlay, Robert Boddy and Dan Essen, who cover KCC Medway and all the counties, borough and district councils. A slightly unusual one for you this week, and it involves rabbits. Yes, fluffy bobtail bunnies. This story came via former Kent County Councillor Sean Holden, who was once the chairperson of the Environment Cabinet Committee. Sean asked us how widely it was known about an apparently new virus that is suspected of killing huge numbers of wild rabbits in some parts of rural Kent. The virulent disease is considered 90% fatal and is a new strain of the deadly RHD2 virus and will kill their domestic cousins if they are not vaccinated. RHD2 transmits easily and spreads rapidly through direct contact between rabbits. It poses the most serious risk since myxomatosis decimated the wild rabbit population. While RHD2 has been around for a while, the variant may have evolved more recently. It can linger on surfaces and clothes, which makes the pet rabbit population particularly vulnerable, although effective veterinary vaccinations do exist. The disease causes death within 2 days by attacking the animal's internal organs, such as the liver. Sean said that as a country dweller and a keen conservationist, he would have been interested in the ecological impact on wildlife and farming, as well as reporting it to the council for information. Another council, the respected British Rabbit Council, yes, there is a thing, reported that a breeder lost a huge number of rabbits last year and suspects the new variant. The BRC's Hazel Elliott said, "I think it is most likely that every recent outbreak is of the new variant of the virus and is proving to be very virulent, and anyone with unvaccinated breeding stock is losing very large numbers." But local naturalist Theo McCausland, who lives in the country near Maidstone, urged everyone to take a step back. He said, "I'm always cautious about blaming one thing or the other. It could be the disease or a new strain of it. It could be the predation or the population has moved for other reasons, such as burrows becoming flooded. So there are many factors why rabbits might die out in certain areas." Conservative County Councillor Claudine Russell, who is a farmer in Staplehurst, reported, thankfully, that the rabbit population is thriving on her land. She joked, "We've got millions of them." Barely a day goes by at Kent Online where we don't have a story about some new housing development or another. While many might reluctantly agree that new homes are needed, and especially social housing, very few of us actually want them built on our own doorstep, especially if that doorstep happens to be fields or farmland. It's a subject Maidstone and Morling MP Helen Grant considers in her latest Kent Online column. She says that throughout her time as a Member of Parliament, overdevelopment has been one of the most persistent concerns raised by constituents. It's a tough call for politicians to make when it comes to development, which ones to support and which ones to oppose. It's never a simple answer, and while one group of people might welcome new homes with open arms, others want none of it. Helen says she has consistently worked to protect precious green spaces from inappropriate development, from fighting to save Fant Farm in Maidstone to supporting the Bunyards Farm Village Green application in Allington, and more recently opposing the Bradbourne proposals for 1,300 additional homes between Hermitage Lane and Ditton. MPs have no statutory role in the local planning process, but when it comes to new developments, particularly the larger ones which will have a huge impact on so many, people always look to their MP for guidance and maybe a view. With so many districts now facing huge building targets set by the government for years to come, it's not an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. Helen makes it clear where she stands. Yes, we need more homes, she says, but her belief is that development must prioritise brownfield land and be infrastructure-led, making sure all the necessary supporting services such as school places, GP provision and the like are in place. She points out that we cannot continue building across our countryside and expect the quality of life to remain the same. And that's before you even start to consider the fact we're often building on farmland, the very places we need to grow food to feed us all. Add into that the problems many of us already face, such as potholes we can't afford to fix, congestion and water supply issues, it's no wonder planning is a hot topic. She's calling for an urgent review of housing targets in the South East and for water companies to be made statutory consultees on planning applications, which strangely enough they aren't at the moment. She's not the only Kent MP raising concerns. Helen Whateley, who represents Faversham and Mid Kent, also highlighted the issue this week and the problem of water supply in particular. She's urging people to sign her petition, titled Stop the Sprawl and Save Kent's Countryside, as she feels her constituency is being asked to take on more than its fair share of new homes, with an extra 20,000 houses planned to be built over the next few years.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
This week, Robert's been following up a story he did about a year ago about how money collected from developers for infrastructure, called what Section 106 contributions, is spent, or rather not spent, in Medway. Section 106 payments are agreed between councils and developers and are funds assigned to projects to mitigate the impacts of the new residents when they move into the new housing. Last year, we found that Medway Council had collected £20 million worth of Section 106 money, which was just sitting waiting to be used. And in particular, money which was collected for health improvements was being underutilised. We found £2.4 million had been collected, but very little of it was being spent, which is a concern because there is a deadline of between 5 and 10 years when the money has to be used by. If not, developers can ask for it back. Well, a year on from our report, and the figure which Medway Council holds for health projects has actually risen to £2.6 million, with only £66,000 being spent within the past year, and only £250,000 has been spent of this money since 2019. We also found that some GP practices said that they had had difficulty trying to get the money they were supposed to be entitled to. Suggestions from practices for improvements to their facilities had been shot down, and instead they were offered a self-help health pod. These are devices which can measure blood pressure, heart rate, and also allows patients to update their records without a doctor being necessary. Since 2019, the Medway Council Infrastructure Funding Statement says 52% of all the Section 106 money which has been spent has been for self-help health pods. Medway Council said it had no concerns over the way the ICB decided how the funds were spent and had never had to return any of the funds it had received due to the passing of the deadline. They did acknowledge that it had needed to agree an extension to the deadline in a couple of instances, but said this was an exception rather than the rule. The ICB said it worked with Medway Council to ensure the funding was used in the best way for the towns and was intended to increase patient capacity. It also said it sought suggestions from GP practices in 2025, but the funds can only be used for long-term improvements, so extension works and things like digitising records rather than individual pieces of equipment or salaries. More of the deadlines for the money which Medway Council has received are coming up, so if the rate of spending doesn't increase, it is possible some developers could start asking for it back. Okay, that's it for this week. Don't forget you can keep up to date with politics in Kent at Kent Online. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.